Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Aleph. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Mishnah at the top of Daf Samach Aleph Omer Aleph has in it an appearance of two diamonds. They feature a couple of cases that the Mishnah will discuss. You can see the first line has the word Hametaher in a diamond, and you see further into the Mishnah another diamonded expression. These diamonds, in fact, are a continuation of a series of cases that started way back on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis. And at that point, we had noted that the diamonds represent the beginning of different cases from which we learn different halachas. The Mishnah, Hametayer Yeno Shel Oyvei Kechovim, V'noisnoi Birshuso, B'bayis HaPasuch L'Rishus HaRabim. We're describing a case where a Gentile owns grapes. He has an arrangement with a Jew who's going to prepare the grapes that are owned by the Goy, prepare them as kosher wine, and after he makes them, that's after he prepares the wine, that's the expression HaMetayer Yeinu Shelevikovim, he then takes the wine and entrusts it and places it in the domain of the Gentile in a house or in a room that's open to a public thoroughfare. There's a mutual interest in the wine remaining untouched by the Gentile. The Rashi adds that as far as the financial arrangement is concerned, the Gentile does not get paid for his grapes until the wine is sold. So we have a Gentile owner of the grapes, and we can actually say the owner of the wine in a manner of speaking, with the wine entrusted in his rishus, with an interest in having it sold to the kosher, the Jewish market. If the room that the facility that the wine is currently sitting in is open to the Rishus HaRabim, open to a public thoroughfare, then we say as follows: Be'ir sheyesh bo oyvedei kochavim v'Yisraelim muter. If it's a city with a mixed population of Gentiles and Jews, so the wine remains muter, because we feel as follows, that the owner of the wine, this Gentile, he won't want to touch the wine, he won't want to make it into Yayin Nesech, because he's afraid that the Jews who are passing by on the thoroughfare will see me and then realize that the wine is no longer kosher, and I'll lose my chance of collecting the money. It must be pointed out that in this kind of circumstance, and as is characteristic of many situations of Gentiles and their contact or their accessibility to the wine, there seems to be an underlying drive that Gentiles have in pouring wine to idols. So there seems to be a type of conflict over here, as is the case in many sugis, where on the one hand there's a desire that the Gentile has in serving his idol through the pouring of the wine, and on the other hand there is a financial interest that exists. So if there's a situation that he could get away with it, so to speak, that he could pour the wine and not get caught, then the red light goes on, indicating that the wine is problematic, would then be forbidden. But if there's some type of built-in security system, so to speak, deterrent, let us say, which would deter the Gentile from stirring the wine or pouring the wine to his idol, so then let's add something where he wouldn't feel comfortable or feel a sense of security with regard to the wine, then the wine will remain mutter. Rashi on the Mishnah adds details that the Gemara will bring. If we look at the Rashi mutter, you see in the beginning of the narrow lines, the mirtas le oivid kechavim, the Gentile is afraid, the lo noga, and he won't touch the wine. The omar, he will figure in a case that the storage area that the wine is sitting in is open to the public, he will figure dilma chazu li hanoch Yisrael de avri rishus rabim, maybe the Jews that are in this city that use the public thoroughfare that pass by on the in the rishus rabim will see me dabbling in the wine umafsidno, and will then cause it to be a loss, meaning that they will notice that I've handled the wine and then rule that the wine is no longer suitable to be sold to the kosher public. The Rashi is telling us information that the Gemara will reveal, even if the barrels don't have a seal on them, or the key is not in the hands of the Jewish owner, in other words, it's not under lock and key, it's still mutter, shori. Now another qualification: v'hu she'ein loy klum al oso yayin, provided the Gentile owner has no real claim over the wine per se. Kagon shekosav lo, as would be an example in the case that the Gentile wrote a receipt to the Jewish owner, hiskabalti mimcha, that I've received payment from you. In other words, that it's no longer viewed by the Gentile as being his own property. As will be mentioned later on in the next section of the Mishnah. So as we continue in the Mishnah, we've noticed that it depends where the wine is sitting. It depends what kind of city we're talking about. So if it's a city that has a mixed population with Jews and Gentiles, and the wine is sitting in an area that can be seen from the public, the wine is mutter. Continuing, Be'ir Shekula Oivdei Kechavim, you notice how we've broken this down with an aleph and a beis and underlined the word Be'ir. These are two circumstances. If it's sitting in a city that is a totally Gentile population, then Usser. Ad Sheyoshiv Shoimer, until a guard is watching the wine. Vein hashomer tzorch lios yoshev u'mishamer, afalpi sheyotzei v'nichnas muter. When we speak about a guard to watch the wine, it's not necessary for him to be seated next to the wine around the clock. It's sufficient that he has access, that he can go in and out. So a shomer, or we call a mashgiach, would be sufficient, even though it's a totally Gentile population, provided he has the he has accessibility to it at any time. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rishus Oivdei Kechavim Achas Hi. This is an expression that the Gemara will attempt to analyze. There are two possibilities in understanding this expression, but for the time being, it's the words say that the domain of Gentiles is one. At this point, this is an obscure expression. Another case: Hamitar Yeno Shel Oved Kuchavim, the Noisnoi Birshuso. A Jew prepares the grapes of a Gentile and makes it into kosher wine, and puts the wine in the Gentile's domain for storage. V'halo Kosev Lo, and the Gentile writes a receipt: His Kabalti Mimcha Mos, I've received money from you. Mutter. With our markings, you can see we've double underlined the expression muter, because this will be used to, this double underline will help us contrast it with the next clause where it ends up as osir. So what, why is the wine muter over here? The reason is that the Gentile doesn't feel that it's his anymore, so he won't feel comfortable touching it. And why does he, why is that the case? Because he's written a receipt that the wine has been paid for. I've received the money for the grapes from you. Avolim yirtze Yisrael ahotzi v'eino manichoi. If, however, the Jew attempts to remove the wine from the Gentile's domain, eino manicho ad shiite no es mosav, and the Gentile doesn't allow him to remove the wine until there's actual payment. In other words, the Gentile doesn't take the receipt so seriously. Ze hoya maisa bebeis shan ve'osroi. An incident like this happened in Beis Shan, name of a community, and the ruling of the wine was one of prohibition. Once again, you see in the Mishnah that since the Gentile felt comfortable enough to tell the Jew, I'm not letting you take the wine until I get the money, he felt that it's his wine until payment would be made. And as a result of that, as the result is his feeling that it's his wine, he wouldn't hesitate to dabble in it and make it into Yayin Nesach. We have at the beginning of the Gemara an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the Gemara text. This indicates, try to find a corresponding arrow further up, and you'll notice it points to the line in which the opening phrase appears. Be'ir shekula oiv dekechavim. Our Mishnah said that if the wine is stored in a room, even if it's open to the public thoroughfare, but it's a city that's completely Gentile, the wine will be forbidden unless it can be demonstrated, unless there is a guard there. Be'ir shekula oiv dekechavim nami, why is it usher? Why, if it's a city that's totally Gentile, do we say the wine is usher? V'ha'ika roichen hamachzirin bayoros. Is there not a situation of traveling salesmen? Those are rochlin, are vendors, people that sell, that travel from city to city, and these vendors include Jews, and these Jews go by this road, which opening onto the road is this facility where the wine is stored, so they'll notice it. And should that not deter the Gentile from dabbling in the wine? Omar Shmuel, Be'ir Shiesh Lo D'Losayim U'Boriach. The Mishnah is describing a city that, in addition to the fact that it's a totally Gentile population, it's also a city that is a gated community. And therefore, people don't enter that area, that city, without the knowledge of the inhabitants. And therefore, the inhabitants will know when people are entering, so that outsiders don't enter unless the general inhabitants, the general population, knows about it. And when the gates are open, and they won't dabble in the wine. But when the gates are closed, so you're left with a totally Gentile population within the gates, and therefore there's no deterrent for the owner of this wine, this Gentile owner. There's nothing deterring him from dabbling in the wine, and hence rendering it forbidden. And at the same time, he doesn't think that he's going to lose his kosher market. Omar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef comes to explain that there are additional situations where there is a deterrent, in addition to what the Mishnah mentioned. And we've titled this on the side of our Gemara under the Nosei heading, the Mikrim cases, Shebohem Hagoy Yifached, cases that the Gentile will be afraid lingoa bayayin to touch the wine. Omar of Yosef, v'chalon kirishus harabim domi. There's a Rashi that has a little star in it. We've positioned this after the Loshon Acher in the Rashi. Chaloin shel Yisrael pasuach keneged habayis. If a Jew has a window facing the room of the Gentile where the wine is stored, kirishus harabim domi. That's the same thing as a room opening to the rishus harabim. So what's being described here is the kosher wine is stored in a room that's not open to the rishus harabim. However, a Jew has a window that looks into the room where the wine is stored. So that will serve as a sufficient deterrent. A second case, ve'ashpa kirishus harabim domi. Ashpa is a garbage heap where people come to dump their garbage. So if there's an ashpa that's located opposite the room that the kosher wine is stored in, even though it's an area owned by a Gentile, but since there's an ashpa there, the public comes to dump their garbage there, and people will see when they go to the ashpa, they'll see what's going on in that room or in that area that the wine is being stored, and hence the Gentile owner will be deterred from handling the wine. Vidikla, a palm tree that's owned by a Jew. Kirishus harabim domi, namely, if you have a palm tree that's owned by a Jew that's opposite the entrance to the area that the wine is stored in, the Gentile owner of the wine won't handle the wine because he's afraid that the Jew who owns the tree is going to climb the tree to get fruits off the tree, and he'll see me. So under the heading of Dikla, we've called Dikla a case 3, Aleph. There's another case within the Dikla heading, Posik Reshe. If the top of the tree, the area of the palm tree that the fruit grows on, is cut off. In other words, there is no fruit on this palm tree. Pligi bo Rav Acha Ravina. We have a machlokas between these two rabbonim. Chad Osar. Well, one says that the Jew probably won't climb the tree. There are no fruits to catch. So there are no fruits to gather. So the Gentile has no deterrent from handling the wine. And v'chad shori, and one says the wine is still mutter even though there's no fruit on the tree. And the Gemara now goes over these two points. Manda osar, we've scribble underlined these expressions, manda osar, and the next line, manda shori, to help identify quickly the explanation for each opinion. So the opinion that forbids the wine, in the case that there's no fruit on the tree, the Gentile figures, Loma le de solikosam. Why should the Jew want to go up there, go onto the tree? There's nothing left to gather. Uman de Shari, the one who says the wine is still permissible, what is the deterrent to the goy? Zinnin de avdole behema. There may be an occasion that the Jew who owns the tree, the fruitless tree, may lose an animal. The solik, and he'll go up the tree, the uni basra, to use it as a type of a lookout tower to find his animal. So there is a deterrent, even if there is no fruit on the tree, according to this opinion. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice to the side a nosei, a topic heading, Hanochas Chovios Yayin Kosher Birshus Goy. We'll be continuing this general topic of the placing of kosher wine in the domain of a Gentile. We also have a new geometric form, a bow tie, and that's explained under the Mivneh heading. We have an Aleph and a Beis. These letters, the Aleph and Beis that are in the diamond, you can see to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text, an Aleph and a diamond here, and on Amud Beis, another one. These are, the Aleph case is ichsun, the storage of yayin kosher, the storage of kosher wine, And the second, in other words, it describes a case that the wine was made by a Jew using his own grapes. And so after the wine was made, he then puts it into the domain of a Gentile. The second case is Hachonas Yayin Kosher Me'anovim Shel Goy. The second case will reflect examples of things we saw in the Mishnah, where a Jew is preparing wine using the grapes owned by a Goy. The Gemara opens Tana Rabbanan. We have a Tanaic source. You can see it's a framed off section that goes till Amud Beis. We frame off Tanaic sources in our marking system to set it apart from the rest of the Amoraic literature. Echad halokeach ve'echad hasocher. Whether it be a case of someone who buys a room or an apartment, or one who rents an apartment, and we're talking about a Jew who acquires these facilities, a room or an apartment through either purchasing or renting it. What is he renting or purchasing? Bayis, the chatzero shel oved kochavim. A bayis can mean an apartment. It can also mean a room that opens into a courtyard that has many other rooms opening into it. So a Jew buys a room, the chatzero shel oved kochavim. This courtyard is owned by a Gentile. Umilehu yayin, and the room that the Jew bought or rented, he then used it as a storage facility for storing barrels of wine. The Israel dor, and we have a colon indicating that there are two cases under this heading, namely. we have Jews that are living. Where are Jews living? Case one, ba'oisa chotzer. If they're living in that same chotzer where there's a room of storing kosher wine, mutter, the kosher wine remains kosher. The afal pi she'ein mafteach v'choisem biyodo. Even if there is no key or seal on the wine. Even if there's no key to the room that's held by the owner of the wine remains mutter. The feeling being that since there's a Jew living in the immediate vicinity, if the Gentile tries to dabble in that wine, he'll be noticed and he'll be caught, and that will serve as a deterrent. However, b'chotzer acheres, if the Jew that if the Jew that we alluded to just before does not live in the same chotzer, but he lives in another chotzer, we're not talking necessarily about the Jew that owns the wine. We're talking about any Jew. If the Jew lives in another chotzer, in another courtyard, then the wine can still be a kosher, t'muter v'hushim maftech v'choysim biyado, provided the owner of the wine, or another Jew for that matter, has a key to the storage facility, or there's a seal on the wine, which would indicate that if it were tampered with, so there was foul play. We have a little number here in a triangle, and the purpose of these numberings is for the Gemara after the source, when we'll want to make references back to different sections in this source, so we'll have these numbers positioned for convenience. We continue in this Tanakh source with a new scenario. Hametahir Yeno Shel Oved Kochavim. This is a situation that was alluded to in the Mishnah. This is a case where the grapes are owned by the Gentile, and the Gentile asked a Jew to prepare the grapes as wine, as kosher wine. And we saw already in the Mishnah that the arrangement would be that once the wine is sold to the kosher market, then the Gentile for his grapes. So on the surface, it seems that there would be a built-in deterrent to the goy handling the wine, because he wants to get paid, and if he touches the wine, so it won't be sold to the kosher market. However, as we saw in the Mishnah, if there isn't a sufficient additional deterrent, in other words, maybe we'll say it more accurately, in order to ensure that the financial loss is a reality, he have to be afraid, there has to be a real situation that the Gentile is afraid that he'll get caught and hence lose his money. So let's see this once again. Hamatayr yeno shel ovei kechavim birshuso. Kosher wine is being prepared in the domain of the Gentile, v'yisrael dar, and a Jew is living. And once again, we have a colon and setting up two different situations. Yisrael is living. Now, we've used a house form to accentuate the two different cases of where the Jew may be living. So the first case is Ba'oisa Chotzer, in the same Chotzer, the same courtyard where the Goy is living. Mutter, the wine is okay. What happens now in the Gemara, this Baisa continues with an expression that is not accurate. And you can see on the next line an angular brackets. In the angular brackets contain an interruption, so to speak, where Rabbi Yochanan enters this enters the scene, so to speak, and says that the phrase we're about to read in the Braisa is not accurate. It has to be restated, and we're going to indicate this with an aleph and beis. So first we'll read the inaccurate expression. We just described the case where the Jew is living in the same chotzer where the wine is, the kosher wine is being stored in the domain of the Gentile, and we're declaring here the wine is allowed, v'hu she mafteach v'choysim biyado, provided that the Jew has a key or the wine has a seal on it. Omar lei Rabbi Yochanan latana. Rabbi Yochanan says to the Tana, means the one who is saying over this Tanaic source. He says, you got a mistake over here. He says, Tani, you should correct it and say, Afal pi she'ein mafteach v'choysim biyado muter. Even if there is no key in the possession of the Jew to the wine, a key given gaining him access to the wine, or there's no seal on the wine, it still is muter. The reason for this being, since the Jew lives in the same chotzer, there's a very immediate deterrent against the goy, against the Gentile, from his dabbling in the wine. The Jew is an immediate neighbor, so to speak, in the same chotzer. He can be caught very easily. So there's no need, when it's in oisa chotzer, to have a key or a seal. The chotzer acheres. The next case is where a Jew does not live in the same chotzer where the wine is being stored, but he lives in a neighboring chotzer, a neighboring courtyard. Aser, the wine is forbidden. Afal pi shemafteach v'choysim biyado, divrei Rabbi Meir. Even though the Jew has a key or there is a seal on the wine, Rabbi Meir hence gives a rather strict ruling under these circumstances. The Chachamim Osrin, the Chachamim forbid. Now, we've dashed underline the Chachamim because the Gemara is going to want to know this, what this phrase is referring to. This last clause that we're about to read, though it appears at the end of the source, does it necessarily go on the phrase that immediately preceded it, namely Rabbi Meir's ruling? So let's read this clause first, and then see how the Gemara deals with it. The Chachamim Oisrin, the Chachamim prohibit the wine. Interestingly, Rabbi Meir also prohibited the wine. So Chachamim Oisrin, ad shehe shomer yoshev u'mishamer, until you have someone guarding it. O ad sheyavo memuna habo lekitzin. This phrase also is difficult. The Gemara will comment on its difficulty later on. But for the time being, it means, or the another possibility of the wine being allowed is if an appointed individual comes at fixed times to take a look at the situation. The Gemara now asks, Chachomim Ahei. The Chachomim, which is the phrase where you notice the dashed underlined word Chachomim, what is that going on? Ilema, and with the triangles, we have a series of attempts, and on the side of the Gemara we have a Mivneh, where the triangle is featured. Biur, a clarification. Ahecha koi Chachomim Sho'isrin, Shinimtsoim Besoif HaBraisa, on what phrase are of this source are the Chachomim referring when they say that they forbid? So the Gemara asks, "I lemo asefa." If Chachomim Osrim is going on the section marked off with triangle 3, namely a situation where there's kosher wine in a Gentile's domain and a Jew does not live in the same chotzer but rather lives in a chotzer acheres, and the Chachomim enter the picture and say, well, the wine is forbidden. Tanakama nami mesar ko'osar. The Tanakama, in this case Rebbe Meir, also forbids. You'll notice we have an arrow to the immediate right hand side of the line of the Gemara text. We've also squiggle underlined the expression mesar ko'osar. Just compare this line to the previous arrowed line, and you'll notice there also a squiggle underline, Osir. What are we trying to say here? The Chachomim would not be saying anything different than that which was already said by the opinion preceding him. V'ela, Aresha the Seifa. Rather, it may be that the restrictive ruling of the Chachomim at the end of the source is going on case 2, triangle 2. Well, let's take a look at that. Triangle 2 was a case where there was kosher wine in a Gentile's domain, but in the same courtyard there was also a Jew. The Chachomim at the end of the source would then be attached to that case, and the Chachomim would say, well, that's a forbidden situation. In other words, the wine would be forbidden. And they're saying the wine is forbidden. The only way to have it allowed is if you would have a guard there, or some person checking it at fixed times. That, the Gemara says, is also incorrect to label, to attach the Chachomim at the end of the source to case number 2. Because as far as case number 2 is concerned, we noticed that Rabbi Yochanan took note of it. And Rabbi Yochanan said in case 2 is a very lenient situation. Now Rabbi Yochanan is an Amora. He comes after the source was compiled. He simply came to correct the source. So Rabbi Yochanan knows that case 2, Rabbi Yochanan states that case 2 is actually very lenient. So it couldn't be that the Chachamim were referring to case 2 and Rabbi Yochanan, who was later than the Chachamim, would come with a ruling counter to what they said. In other words, they're having said Oisrin and it applying to case 2, then Rabbi Yochanan would not have ruled as leniently as he did with regard to that scenario. Therefore, the Chachomim Osrin that you see at the end of the source is not going on case 2. So let's see the Gemara. If you're going to say that it's going on the Reisha de Seifa, the beginning of the end, meaning case 2, the Ha Ka'omar Le Rabbi Yochanan Latana, but Rabbi Yochanan said to the one saying over this Tanaic source, Tani, you have to restate case 2 as follows, that the wine is mutter afal pi she'ein mafteach v'chosen biyado, even if there's no key gaining access to the storage facility, even if there's no seal on the wine is still mutter. So Rabbi Yochanan, having ruled a lenient ruling on case 2, it's not within the realm of possibility that the Chachamim are referring to that scenario. The Chachamim, of course, representing a strict ruling. V'ela, Asefa de Resha. Chachamim Osrin will be going on the case labeled with a 1 in a triangle, the end of the first clause of the Tanaic source. The first clause of the Tanaic source was dealing with storage of kosher wine in a Gentile domain. Deka Omar, and what we see here is a frame section. This is essentially an excerpt from the Sefer Dereisha. We've used a double underline to feature, to highlight the expressions Tana Kama and Chachomim Osrin, Chachomim. The Sefer Dereisha now is, as we said, restated. Tana Kama, the Ka'omar Tana Kama, the Chotzer Acheres Mutter, if the Jew is living in another chotzer, namely not in the same chotzer that the Jews, that the Jewish kosher wine is being stored, Jewish owned kosher wine is being stored, but rather the Jew, a Jew lives in another chotzer, v'hu shemafteach v'choysim biyado, the wine will be mutter if the Jew has a key or the wine has a seal on it. The Chachomim Oimrim, and now what we're doing is we're attaching the Chachomim that appeared at the end of the original source, we're attaching it to the Tanakama of the what was called the Sefer Dereisha, the end of the first clause, and the Chachomim argue and say, the Olam Aser, Ashe Shomer Yoshevu Mishamer, the wine is going to be Aser unless you have someone watching it. And now we have a bracketed section. We skip it momentarily. Oy ad shiyavoy memune she'eno bo lekitzin. Or there is someone that is appointed who shows up at sporadic times. In other words, the Chachamim do not rely on the fact that the Jew living in another chotzer has a key, or that the wine is sealed. That's not enough to protect the wine, to ensure it's, to guarantee its kashrus. The Chachamim say you've got to have someone coming in to check on the wine, either permanently posted there or coming at sporadic times. That only then would the Gentile be sufficiently deterred from dabbling in the wine. Let's go over the bracketed expression. That which appears within it is inaccurate. And in fact, it's the same Lashon as was in the original source that we mentioned. The last line of the original source we mentioned was problematic. So, reading this again, the Chachamim say that the wine is not going to be mutter unless you have a shomer that's Yoshev Meshamer, oi ad sheyovoi mimune habol lekitzin, or you have someone who's appointed to check up on the wine who comes at fixed hours, fixed times. So to this we react. How does that work as a deterrent? Memuna bo lekitzin griusahu. Someone who comes at fixed times, this is negative. It's a weakness. What? Why? Well, it's obvious. If the Gentile knows that at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, every afternoon, someone comes to check up on the wine, so at 3 o'clock the Gentile will distance himself, will keep himself away from the wine. But at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, the rest of the day, he feels secure enough to come and dabble in the wine and splash the wine or pour the wine to his idol. Ella, what would be a sufficient deterrent? Ella ad shiyavoi memuna she'eno bo lekitzin. If there's an appointed individual who comes sporadically at times that are not fixed, then the wine will be considered safe and under guard with sufficient deterrent to the Gentile from dabbling in it. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Rishus Ovdei Kochovim Achas Hi. This expression, this ruling of Reb Shimon ben Elazar, appeared in the Mishnah. And when we learned the Mishnah, we mentioned that it was a vague expression. Ibaya Laho, Reb Shimon ben Elazar, Lahokel Oy Lahachmir. Is Reb Shimon Lozer showing up? Is he entering the Mishnah to be lenient, meaning more lenient than the Tanakama, or Lahachmir, or more restrictive? As we open up the Gemara, we will see there are two deos, and we've highlighted them in diamonds. You see Ze'iri, Rav Yehuda quoting Ze'iri, and Rav Nachman quoting Ze'iri. What we've done is we've put Ze'iri in diamonds to indicate that he's of a there are two versions of him appearing. So the first opinion of Yehuda quotes Ziri as being interpreting the Rav Shimon Lozer in the Mishnah as lenient, and Rav Nachman quotes Ziri as representing or as interpreting Rav Shimon Lozer to be restrictive. What we see in the Gemara is each one presenting their opinions and elaborating on them. So we just ask, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, when he appears in the Mishnah with his comment that the domain of Gentiles is considered one, is that a lenient point or a strict point? So let's continue in the Gemara. Rav Yehuda Amar Ziri Lahakel. Rav Yehuda, in quoting Ziri, these are our Amoroyim, Ziri interprets, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, he interprets Rav Shimon Elazar as being lenient. Rav Nachman Amar Ziri Lahachmir, as being strict. And now the Gemara goes over these two approaches. What we will see with our markings is we'll see each one presenting their reading of the Mishnah with Rav Shimon ben Elazar and as they interpret him. So we continue after we see that Rav Yehuda Amar Ziri says Lahaki v'hachi ko'amar, and thusly the Mishnah is to be understood. V'hachi ko'amar Tanakama, and thusly the Tanakama says his point. Kishem shebirshusay aser, kach birshus ove kechovim achir nami aser. Just like in the case, let's just mention one thing before we go any further. Don't forget, we're talking in the Mishnah about a case where the wine, the grapes at least, were owned by the Gentile. The Gentile was interested in having his wine kept kosher so that he would have the be able to sell to the kosher market. However, the question is there sufficient deterrent to deter him from dabbling in the wine? So the Tanakhama says that according to this approach, Bamed Vamamurim, Birshuso, when is there a problem with regard to the wine? So we will say that there's a problem we're talking about a case where there's a city that's total Gentile population. So the Tanakhama is telling us that when is the wine forbidden? That's when it's Tanakama. Let's read this again. V'ochi komar Tanakama kishem shebirshuso aser. Just like if it's kept in his own house, in his own domain, the wine is forbidden. Kach birshus oved kechovim achir nami aser. So too, if it's kept in the rishus of some other Gentile, in other words, someone that doesn't own the wine. Why is that? Why is it that if the wine is stored in someone else's rishus, another Gentile's rishus, one that doesn't own the wine, is it going to be forbidden? After all, the wine is not his, so why would he want to touch the wine? So the Gemara explains, V'chayshinon legoimlin. We are choshesh, we suspect a practice of Gomlin. Gomlin means you do me a favor today, I'll do you a favor tomorrow. So the setup is like this. If the wine is kept in the Gentile's domain that's not the owner, he himself won't dabble in the wine. However, he will let the owner of the wine come into his house and dabble in it. Why will he do that? Because he figures that next time when my grapes are being made into kosher wine and I'll then entrust the wine into your domain, you will let me come in and dabble in the wine. Reb Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Bamed Vumamurim, when do we say that the wine is forbidden? That's birishuso, when it's kept in the domain of the owner of the grapes. Aval birshus ove kochovim acher muter. If the wine is stored in the domain of a Gentile that is not the owner, then the wine is okay. Velo chayshino megomlin. And we're not going to concern ourselves with this suspicion that one will do a favor to the other guy. Rav Nachman Omar Ziri lahachmir, v'hochi komar Tana Kama. Bamer devam amurim. When do we say that the wine is forbidden? Once again, we're talking about a case of a city that is totally Gentile. And the Mishnah, the Tanakhama tells us in the Mishnah that the wine is forbidden. So when is that? The Tanakhama says that's birshusa, when it's kept in the domain of the owner of the wine. Aval birshusa ovei kochovim achir muter. If it's kept in the domain of some other Gentile that's not the owner of it, so the wine is okay. It remains kosher. V'lo chayshino megomlin. And here, the Tanakhama represents the lenient approach, and it figures we're not choshesh for gomlin, that arrangement that we described before of the non-owner letting the owner come in anticipation of the next day, the tables would be reversed. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, kol rishus ovde kochovim achashi. And here you can see the expression that we saw in the Mishnah, that all Gentile domain is one in the same. What we should do is, before we go any further, we have to explain, we did not explain this sufficiently in the first presentation, where that of Rav Yehuda Omar Ziri, where Rav Shimon Malozer comes along and says that the restriction is only if it's kept in the domain of the owner of the wine. Once again, where Rav Shimon Malozer was lenient, how does this expression make any sense, that kol rishus ovicho machasi, really the way it's read is in a bitmiyah fashion. Namely, kol rishus ovde kochovim achasi. Is it so that all Gentile domain is treated as one? No. Rav Shimon Elazar in the first version says it depends. If it's in the only if it's in the owner's only if it's in the owner's domain is there a problem, but not if it's in someone else's, not in another Gentile's domain. Tanya kavose de Rav Nachman Omar Ziri lahachmir. The Gemara tells us that we have a brisa that presents Rav Shimon Elazar in accordance with the strict approach, namely Rav Nachman's version of Ziri. The source says Omar Rav Shimon Elazar kol rishus ovde kochovim achas hi lipnei horamoyin. All Gentile domains are considered the same because of the Ramoyim, the underhanded ones. This is a reference to Gomlin, for those that will practice this favor. I'll let you, the owner, come in today, and you will let me come in tomorrow when I am the owner of the kosher wine, storing it in your rishus. Debei Parzik Rufilo. Parzuk is a name of a Gentile who was a Rufila, the second to the king. We'll call him a powerful Gentile. Osivu Chamra Gabi Arisayu. They stored some kosher wine by their sharecroppers. An Oris is a type of worker, a sharecropper, who works for this for Parzuk. Sovar Rabbonan Kamei de Rava Lememar. You see, we've squiggle underlined this expression. This represents the first of two approaches to this very case. We have Sovar Rabbona Kamei de Rava, and two lines later, Omar Lehu Rava, you'll see Rava's response. But there was an initial thought to say, Lememar, Ki Chayshinim Legoimlin, under what circumstances do we suspect this favor doing? Hanimili Hecho Deko Moisiv Hai Gabi Hai. That's where each one would entrust the wine to the other, where on day one A will entrust the wine to B, and on day two B would entrust the wine to A. Aval hocha, in this case with Parzuk and his sharecroppers, Kevon de Arise, since it's his sharecropper, Lav Darke lo Osove be Parzik Rufila. He's a subordinate individual. They're not like two friends. They're not equals, and therefore it's unlikely that the Oris will on a subsequent day entrust the kosher wine into the domain of Parzik Rufila. So therefore the circumstances of Gomlin doesn't exist, and therefore there's no chashash, we don't have to raise that as that specter of doubt, and therefore the wine will remain kosher. Once again, the case had Parzik owned this kosher wine. This was the case we saw, Mitar Yena Shochavero, and he entrusted that kosher wine into the domain of his Oris. Omar Luhu Rava. Rava, upon hearing this Svara, reacts. He says, Adarava, to the contrary. Afilu Lamadomar Lo Chayshin in the Gomlin, even according to that opinion that doesn't suspect the Gomlin behavior. So that if the wine is kept in the domain of a Gentile non-owner of the wine, there is no problem. Hani mili hechadelo mirtas mine. That's true when the non-owner is someone who's not afraid of the owner. Aval hocha, in the case of Parzik and the sharecropper, who's the owner of the wine? Parzik. In whose domain is it being stored? By the Oris. Kevon de Mirtas Mine, since the Oris is afraid of Parzik, Mechapi Ole Zechusa. He will, in the event that Parzik comes in to the domain of the Oris to handle meaning Parzik's own wine, the Oris will defend, will cover for him. Mechapi literally means cover for him. He will cover and testify that Parzik never touched it. If it ever came to that. So Rava says that in the Parzik Oris setup, if the wine were kept in Parzik's domain, it would certainly be forbidden, and even if it's kept in the Oris's domain, it would be forbidden, and that would be a prohibition across the boards. Everyone would agree with it, even the Mando Omar, who's not Choshish for Golan. Hahu Krocha, there was a city, to have a Yosef Bei Chamro de Yisrael, that there was kosher wine in this city. Ishtakach Ovid Kechovim Davikoi Bei Nidoni, and a Gentile was seen between the barrels. He was hanging around the wine. Omar Rava, in Nitfas Olav Kiganov, if he would be caught and viewed by the authorities as a thief, in other words, if being seen there, the police would come in and say, hey, what are you doing here? You're a thief. Then, shari. Then the wine would be mutter, and Rashi says, even bishtia, even for drinking. V'i loy, however, if the goy, the Gentile, could be around these barrels with comfort, namely, he wouldn't be nitfas olav kiganav, so then, osir, the wine is forbidden, even Bahano, another extreme, even to benefit from it, because since this Gentile feels comfortable and he doesn't feel any threat of being caught there, so it's we would be viewing it as with almost certainty that he dabbled in the wine, and hence it becomes forbidden. One will notice at the bottom of this page a word that we have in a firebox, maskona. It says maskona de milsa. There is provided here a summary of many halachas that we have learned from the latter half of this perek regarding the issue of Yayin Nesech. And we have marked off this section with some extensive marking for your convenience in reviewing. So with this, we end our shiur for today.